kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Network powered by Spotify, because it's out coming to you. Hey, Mikey Meatballs, producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds of D3, Harry, Brother Bride, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How's it going, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
We are also, fellas, this must be a special podcast, although I don't know anything about it, but we're joined by our old friend, Sol Jolliman, still right by my side here on FanDuel TV in the ring when we do the Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Sol, what's happening, man?
I didn't know. I just received a Zoom link in my email. I assumed this was some sort of Black Friday deal, but this is a pleasant surprise.
Listen, I'm glad I have you on. I'm not sure why you're on, but now it makes sense because I am ready to rub it in because the big news out of Flushing is Luis Severino was signed, but stolen by the New York Metropolitans from the Yankees. Suck it, Yankee fans. 1 year, $13 million. He's not yours anymore, at least not for the 2024. What do you think, Parlay Kid? Yeah, nervous laughter, because I know you know this is a mistake by Yankees giving him up.
Honestly, well, listen, he was historically bad for the Yankees this year. Like, he was one of the worst, probably one of the worst pitchers in baseball, if not the worst.
Okay.
Velocity is way down.
But hold on, somehow, who's the guy I picked from the Blue Jays to win the Cy Young? That guy was the worst pitcher. Severino's better than him, right? 1 year, $13 million?
Yeah, they're about there. I would put them on the same par with each other. Right. But we know Yankees fans will say we know how this is going to turn out. Severino has a bounce back year.
Stop it.
Won't be phenomenal, but...
Oh, stop. You know, when does it ever happen? When does this ever happen? A guy goes from the Yankees to the Mets. Brian, when does it ever happen?
Well, let's face it. If he went for the Yankees to, like, Minnesota, he'd probably win 15 games, right? But maybe Yankees to Mets doesn't translate
because... Let's think about this. It directly from Yankees to Mets, because you can't go, like, Al Leiter. That doesn't count.
Right. I should have done the research here because I'm looking.
Unless there's a really good reliever.
Dellin Betances went Yankees to Mets and that was a disaster.
Well, that's what this feels like. It's kind of like, and I don't know what you think. I think the Yankees never really experimented with Severino out of the bullpen. I always thought that was somewhere they should have went with considering all the injuries. Well, maybe it would help, but.
He did pitch out of the bullpen a little bit, and he was excellent.
A little bit, yeah, and he was really good.
That's
years
not
ago.
Where they got him. He's not going to be an ace. They need like 140 innings.
For $13 million, you can kind of do with him what you want.
I still think that he needs to suck up innings a little bit there. Sol Jolliman, what do you think? You care about this?
I recall you went from the Yankees to the Mets? I feel like you should, at one point in your life, were a Yankees fan. Darren, admit it, right?
Billy Joel, maybe? Maybe that's the best Yankee to Met.
Yeah, there was a time I think maybe Sal dabbled with the Yankees a little bit.
No way. There's never even a week.
See, now he's going to kick me off. Just like that.
That's it. Send him off, meatballs. Strawberry got a ring with the Yankees. Gooden got a ring with the Yankees. Not necessarily, they didn't move the needle a lot, really, for those teams, I don't think. But I'm looking here. I don't know. Ventura, these are guys that just have played for both, Brian. This is not necessarily
Zeal. Yeah, it's the straight over ones that I'm not sure. Like Mikey Meeple has just mentioned Cologne, which obviously he was great for the Mets. But there was definitely a couple of years in between there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. Listen, that you guys aren't upset is what gets me upset. You know, that's all I have to go by. But anyway, it is what it is, Harry. We'll get 140, 150 innings out of them. Most of them will be bad. And that's that. Yogi Berra played for both. Well, I'm looking.
Yeah. I also think, you know, Brian's point, and Brian brought this up back in the summertime when the Mets were dealing. Look, if he's good, right? Like he's easily tradable if the Mets are out of contention though, right? Like if he's good, well, there's a good chance if he's good, the Mets will be in contention. But if for some reason he was pretty solid, you could turn a profit off of that in terms of picking up a prospect or two.
Yeah.
Possibly. Those 1 year deals never hurt for pitchers. They don't.
That's right. I'm trying to think now, you know, whatever. We're going to spend like 40 more minutes on this, and then we're going to get you ready for Thursday night football on the weekend, college conference championship picks. We'll go over futures. I have a couple bombshells. Can you stick around, Sol? I'll give you one now, and then I'll give you one at the end of the podcast. Yeah, how's that? Is that good?
Oh, man, I will say I have been I've never been more excited.
I think you're going to be a little disappointed because it's kind of something we know, Harry. Harry, let's put it this way. Do you want to maybe admit something? And then maybe it's, you know, there's a little less of a penalty, maybe? I don't know. What do you think?
Admit what?
Okay. All right. If we're going to play that, that's fine. We'll just do it my way then. Well, your cartoon is out, right? You got a weekly cartoon every Thursday. It hasn't been very good. It's funny. Babyface Old Jolliman is he's the yucks. He's the laughs behind it. Very funny.
He makes it. Joel makes that cartoon. Yeah, definitely.
He really does.
That's Joel, why I tune in.
Man of a thousand voices.
Well, that's what I'm wondering about here. I think your voice, Harry, is just about the only thing representative of you anymore in this cartoon.
I know I'm down 20 pounds the last 3 months.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You are not really making your picks, are you?
I am.
What?
What do you mean I'm not making my picks? I am making my picks.
You are making your picks. The picks that are on the cartoon are from you.
Yeah.
They are. The last 2 weeks, they weren't from somebody else. Or
last week wasn't me. I'll say that. Last
okay,
week,
all right.
I would never lay the points, and you know that.
Right. Well, I don't know why you're getting. I know.
Now I never lay the points.
He's getting arrogant with us now. That wasn't my pick, but I'm not going to say. I mean, Brian, do you believe this? Not his picks.
What's going on? This is just. Ken's throwing them in there for Harry because
Harry's defense. In Harry's defense, he's very busy. He is a mover and a shaker, mostly a shaker. And sometimes we just have to. He doesn't have time. He can't be bothered with things like a pick. And you know, and this animation takes time. This week we had Maury Povich on, and he's very busy. So. I try to get Harry's sense of what the pick would be and then just go with it. Right, Harry?
H-Dog is going to hang out with Flavor Flav in a couple of weeks. Right, Joel?
Let's not get off subject here, please.
Let's
yeah, there you go.
H-Fraud.
That's all I'm saying.
Harry has been all smoke and mirrors for years. All smoke and mirrors for years, right? Come on,
Harry. What do you want to say? This is not necessarily make you look good, and you have like an arrogance about it.
I never said last week were my picks. I just said that's.
Well, we're just to assume that every week when you're making picks and your voice, it's your pick.
And this week is the pick. This week is my pick.
So will you let us know ahead of time which ones are your picks and which ones aren't?
Wait, saying the team though? I don't get it. Is he?
He's saying it. Well, first of all, I'm not even bought on. I'm not sold on it being his voice. This could be an AI thing. I mean, I don't know what's real anymore. That might not even be. Is it Harry's voice, Joel? Can you confirm that it's actually Harry's voice?
AI could never duplicate Harry. And Sal, are you at some point suggesting I'm recording him making both picks? Like you're thinking that I'm having him.
I don't know what I'm suggesting because no one's told me anything. Harry is like all brass about like, no, this week's my pick. But last
just
week
5 minutes, 3 minutes ago, he said he makes all of his picks.
Right, he did. Yeah, and now you don't. Yeah, that's true.
When last week, I wanted to make it a teaser. We couldn't make it a teaser because then we'd have to explain what a teaser is. So laid the points.
What do you care about explaining what a teaser is?
But did it have to do with the cartoon anyway? Like, was it one of those things like when you went to the zoo and saw the jaguar and you decided I need to take the jaguars? Like,
that's not how I decided I wanted to take the jaguar.
Unbelievable. I don't know, Joel. Well, you know, I don't know.
Sal, I'm really disappointed because you said
I saw a Bengal tiger too. I didn't take the Bengals.
The problem what makes this really disappointing is Sal said
not lying.
Sal said you kind of know it's very obvious. The cartoon has to do with a baby. All day we're talking about Harry having a baby. So now it's disappointing. That it's not Harry.
Oh, I see. Oh, you thought Harry's having a baby.
Now I actually thought
I texted Brian. I texted Brian last night. I said, "Is Angie pregnant?"
No.
Well, Harry said he's taking Angie to the.
Did you really?
Yeah, because you said you're taking Angie to the doctor.
And Brian,
this cartoon has to do with the baby. You know, there's all this stuff. So now when Harry said it's obvious,
but Brian,
I just assumed it was pregnancy.
I get it.
Brian responded saying. When I said, is Angie pregnant? Brian actually responded saying, no way. His sperm count is way too low.
Listen, we established, Aaron, you're going to have to be the father if this is going to work. That Harry, we did that months ago. All right. But anyway, okay,
God bless
Harry.
Yours isn't there.
Harry, I feel like I need to apologize. This week is your pick. Last week wasn't. The week before wasn't. And that's only as far as I'm going. I don't know. I mean, you wanted the under in some game, but Joel said the over. The guy in the cartoon on your shoulder saying over was funnier. So that was your pick. And Thanksgiving wasn't your pick.
So that's right. How we're making picks then. Okay.
Joel, what do you want to say about this?
Hold one, on, two of the last three.
Somebody
won two of the last three, not you.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Darren hit the under on Harry's sperm count. So that's a win. It's the most important thing is that the pick is in before Thursday.
But you know that's nonsense, Joel, right? Like he could say a team name. That doesn't take up a lot of time.
All right, but
so
yes. The thing is, this has been the argument, right? We've had with Harry is this is totally fine, and I think it's great. I think it's great because this is Harry. Like, and this is the Harry he should be marketing.
That's true.
Like,
that's
not
true.
Like this, I'm a perfect guy. I not get everything correct. Like, that's not Harry. This is the Harry. This is the real Harry. And this is what we should be, that he should be marketing. That this is it. The lovable, loserish type of guy.
Good. We're working on it, Darren. We're working on it.
That's what we should be working on.
Man, we don't know what his brand is.
That's the brand. That's the brand. That's it. Yeah. Like, we should embrace this. I think this is great.
I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. And I think you're right, except for the fact that there was a time when he was very, very proud of his picks. He would never allow this. This is like Johnny Carson letting someone sit in his chair. You know, like he would never, these are my picks. These are mine. I take it no matter what. These are mine. And I stand by.
Look, the referees this year have made me very humble. What can I say?
That was this year. I thought that was last year. I don't know.
No, last year was good. This year I've been humbled because of the
referees. You had problems with the referees last year. Yeah. All right. Listen, like I said, we could spend forever on this. Joel, you have anything else to say about this? Stick around because there's another big thing, but I want to spread this out because we should go over some content here.
Oh, man. Yeah.
As long as the picks aren't being made by me, there are always Harry's.
Makes sense. All right, Harry, let's start you off because Seattle is at Dallas Thursday night football. Do it 8.5. This has been ping-ponging around between 9 and 8.5. As of now, it is 8.5, 47.5. And I think you or somebody took Seattle, right?
That's correct. Look, I'm going to take Seattle with the points here. Seattle's looking great for a while, right, guys? At 6-3 for a playoff berth, and now they're playing for their playoff lives as they're in the middle of a brutal stretch They have San Francisco for the second time in 3 weeks next Sunday, and then they have Philly. But 9 is still a chunk to receive versus a team.
It's 8.5
in Dallas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't have a win against a winning team. There are 8 wins. The opponent's record is 24-55. I mentioned that yesterday, but I think I need to mention that again. I just did, because 24-55 is brutal. So I'm going to take Seattle.
They should have done better in that
win this game.
Yeah.
But
the Cowboys should do better
in prime time. I'm taking the points out.
If the Cowboys could somehow raise the record of their opponents, I don't know how. The good teams are able to do that. But yes. All right, Harry. And look at him. Look, Bri, he tried to steal another half point. It's 8.5. We're all getting 8.5. Listen, Bri saved us here, because we're kind of all on Seattle here, except for him. We'll get to you in a second, Bri. Harry's right. Last 3 wins were by 90 points, but 90 points the last 3 games. But the teams they've beaten have not been great. Everyone points it out. Washington, Carolina, Giants. Offense clicking. Defense led by Parsons and Deron Bland. It's been tremendous. Seattle, not as good as they were last year. Parlay kid. Last few weeks, they were crushed by the Niners and Ravens. They lost to the Rams for a second time. They barely got by the Commanders. Still maybe good enough to slide into a playoff. Should only take 9 wins. But here's where I see an advantage a little bit for Seattle. Their run zone defense, second most in the league on passing downs. Their defense, sorry. They're in the zone passing downs. Zach has trouble against zone defenses. The rookie Witherspoon and Rick Warren do a nice job. Yep. We haven't seen a sleepy Cowboys game in a bit, Parlay Kid. Geno, 8-3 against the spread night games. I see it like 24-19.
Yeah, I hate myself. I think this is more of an emotional hedge for me, because I wouldn't mind losing this if the Cowboys won by 30 points. Like, I would take it. So, but I do think, right, the Cowboys have dominated in all their wins, for the most part, except for maybe the Chargers. And if you look back at the Chargers game, which they squeaked out, this kind of plays out to me like that. Like, Seattle is kind of like a Chargerish type of team. There's talent here. And if the talent shows up, I think they're going to kind of keep themselves in this game. They got a field goal kicker who, I know he missed a big one, I think last week, but he boots them from 50 plus yards consistently. He's pretty solid. And they do just have enough weapons on both sides of the ball. Like you just mentioned the kid Witherspoon. He's been he's the one kid I think I'm the most all the rookies I've watched this year defensively, he's stood out the most to me. He is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think if he can, kind of contain Lamb a little bit, this game could play close. This game could play a little closer than I would like it. I think Seattle's going to be up for this one on a Thursday night. I think Cowboys win this. And would I be shocked if they won this by, well over the spread? Probably not. But I'll just, I'll take Seattle points. It's a lot of points.
I like that Witherspoon. I had him for defensive rookie of the year, close to 3-1 about 6 weeks ago.
He's been tremendous.
Now it's 2-1. Yeah. Jalen Carter, still the favorite. Yeah. Bri, this one's a little different for Thursday game. Both teams, usually both teams are on 3 days rest, but they had the full week, right? They both played Thanksgiving.
Look, I was originally thinking, look, I wanted maybe to take the under, but then I was also like, I don't know how that plays out when both teams have had a full week of rest, right? You usually don't see both teams here getting the full week. But yeah, I'm taking the Cowboys -8.5. And this may be a play because the three of you all had against the Cowboys. Going against Harry's disturbing cartoon, although I think it was probably his best cartoon yet.
wow.
And look, the Cowboys, they've had a pretty bad history against Pete Carroll, especially recently. Yeah. This Cowboys team, look, they're legit. 5-0 against the spread at home, where they've outscored opponents by 29 points. Dak is playing at his best level ever. I think the Cowboys too, like once they get an early lead on a team, they pour it on late. So maybe like a second half play is even better for this game. But the Seahawks really have been bad recently. I think a lot of that, it's kind of not been talked about as much, but I think a lot of that has to do with injuries on this team. And Geno really just hasn't been able to consistently make plays. Seattle's lost 3 straight on the road. I just think they're a team right now that they just beat up bad teams. I don't think Seattle's a good team right now. And I think this is like 35-17, 37-17, something. All right.
Yeah, they don't even beat up bad teams. Like they scratched it out against Washington. If Robo Ron goes for two there, it might be a different story. Pauly kid, this is one of our sadder matchups, right? It was a night game, Seattle, Dallas. It was, I talk about this on Cousin Sal's winning weekend, or I will at least. Very sad. By the way, that date, January 6th, 2007, when Romo botches the snap and shiny ass ball.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's what everybody forgets. And Sal, if I could just mention.
Sure.
And this is the truth. And Brian was there. We were watching in Brian's basement. I was so nervous about that field goal that I didn't watch it.
Don't tell him what happened. Yeah.
I was listening to their reactions and I thought they were screwing with me when they were like, oh no. And I'm like, these guys are messing with me. I come down and I'm like, holy, I couldn't believe it. And the shithead
kicker with his hands on his hips. If he just gets run over.
Romo scores a touchdown.
Yeah,
he scores a touchdown and he's a hero.
Babineau, right?
He's a hero.
Yep, Babineau made the tackle. Yeah, that wasn't their best team. They weren't going to go far, probably. I mean,
Parcells thought they could have went on a Super Bowl type of run that year.
I'm sure. Yeah, you never know.
He never coached again. That was it.
Oh, God, that sucked. All right, hopefully it's nothing like that. I mean, there's no way it could be anything
like that. I still love you, Tony.
Yeah. Joel, do you want to give a pick on here or did you already give a pick, but it was Harry voicing it? I can't tell.
we're on the same page here.
I don't know what's worse though, really, Darren. I mean, Romo, though, that snapper saying that the Eagles should have went for it 4th and 17 against the Bills. I don't know.
I wonder if they will show if Amazon Prime will show Blood Diamond after this game.
So I did see this field goal and I was distraught and there was like a 9:50 showing of Blood Diamond at the arc light. And I said, Melissa, let's go. Let's get out of here. I can't stay in the house, even though the house is probably the safest place to be when you're mourning your team. And I went and I don't know, it was a sad movie, but I shouldn't have been sobbing during it like I was. I have to blame Babineau and Kicker and Tony to a lesser extent, but yeah, that sucked. Had my head down, the popcorn just crying. All right, let's pick a prop. This is not going to be anything like that. This is going to be fine. Geno Smith, over 32 and a half attempts. Sorry for the vig here, minus 130. But this is a good spot for Geno. He averages 36 attempts over the last 8 games on the road. He's hit this number 7 times. He's hit the over as an underdog. They go down early. They don't have a healthy Kenneth Walker to lean on. By the way, that guy, he's probably out. He was doubtful by the time we're recording this. Probably out by the time you're listening. Howell had 44 attempts last week versus Dallas. Geno might not have that many, but somewhere in the mid-30 range. I like this prop tied to a nice trend. Geno Smith over 32 and a half attempts. Harry, give us a prop.
I'm going to go Seahawks Tyler Lockett. Over 4.5 receptions, Sal, at minus 108. Last time Lockett played Dallas, he had 9 catches. He's been Geno Smith's most consistent receiver, even more than Metcalf this season. He's got 11 more catches than DK does. And Seattle probably will be playing from behind, which should get Lockett more looks than normal. I'm going to go over 4.5 receptions.
All right, we got 2 Dak props. We'll start with you, Bri. What do you like?
He's taking a bland interception. It's plus 430. Yeah. Plus 430. Mm. Staring us in the face. It's actually better odds,
Brian,
this week than it was
we
last.
Went over this with Mikey Meatballs. Bland to have another pick 6 this year. 30-1.
Wait.
Holy smokes.
Wait.
Another pick 6 this year.
Just one more this year?
Just one more. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. I thought somebody had mentioned something about last week, him to score on a pick 6 was like 30-1 just for like the last game.
So might get 1 or 2 more.
Yeah, look,
take him home?
It makes sense. I mean, but I think, you know, an interception is plus 430 is not bad, but I'm taking another prop that's really high. I know you guys talked about, you know, maybe Dak's not great necessarily against zone defense, but I'm taking Dak being locked in at 4 passing touchdowns plus 850. Mm. I think that's a really crazy number right now. Plus 850 for 4. Look, Dak has thrown for 4 touchdowns in three of his last five games, right? He's making a case for MVP right now. And, you know, even though he's going to be judged over the next 4 weeks, I think he has a monster. I think he has a monster game here again. And the thing that I like about the Cowboys is they put away, if they get up on you, they put these teams away. They keep players in and they pile on these points here. So,
right.
You know, I could definitely see Dak getting, you know, 2 second half touchdowns here to potentially get four. Yes, I just thought 850 is a lot.
Yeah, that's not bad. So what's three, like 425 or something, 450?
It's a lot less. It's a lot less. It's like plus, but it's 260.
That's it? No.
I think so.
Really? Yeah, for three? So. I guess so, because his over-under would be, yeah, you're right. It would be, his even would be two somewhere in there.
Yeah,
I talked about this with Tate on Tuesday.
Plus 240.
That's it? Shit. He has 17 over his last five games, Dak. He's plus 350 to have the most passing touchdowns in the year. He's this year, he's one behind Josh Allen. But you know how that goes. I was like, oh, that's a good one, man. He's on fire. You know, I might jump on that. Why not? I can root for my own player here. But it's all that week 18, right? They might not need it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Buffalo will need it. And Mahomes is up there. He might not need it. And Tua, you know, I feel like Josh Allen is probably a good bet because they're going to need that week 18 game. But anyway.
By the way, nine to one right now. Went to 9 to 1.
So. 9 to 1 for three or more, for four. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Polly kid. You got a little parlay.
Little parlay here. It involves Dak over 1.5 touchdown passes. He's been absolutely fantastic. By the way, I have Dak over 26.5 touchdown passes this year. That's a sure thing, which is great. And I also have him under 11.5 interceptions. That's going to get
guaranteed injury now. That Polly kid's a sure thing.
But then guess what? Then I hit the interception, right? So, you know, it's great. Not terrible.
Right, we'll
under on the interceptions, over on the touchdowns. I think I hit both. But over 1.5 touchdown passes, he's been great. Their home where he really thrives. The Seattle, obviously, Witherspoon is good. The rest of the secondary is very suspect. And as we know, Dak's been able to throw some short passes, guys run him in. He's got a lot of weapons. So I'm going to combine that with something that might not be too popular, but it's Gallup over 16.5 yards.
Terry's okay? guy.
Ooh.
Right. That's one catch basically for Gallup. He's gone over that number for as bad as he's been. He's averaging 31 yards per game. Granted, last game he had one catch for 13 yards. Okay, but other than that, he's gone over in 7 out of his 8, went over 16.5 yards. And one thing you could say about Dak, he gets everybody involved, right? It's not like four guys are catching passes for the Cowboys. There's usually 7, 8, 9, even 10 guys, like last game, with receptions. Gallup is usually more of a guy who's going to catch the ball downfield. Sometimes he's catching those little curl routes as well. But two catches for Gallup, and he's definitely over this. One could even put him over this, and I'm going to be coming back with Gallup soon.
Wow!
Because I
in
do
your
think
Sharp Tank.
Sharp Tank, but in our first touchdown soon. So let's do it.
Well,
plus 167. Plus 167.
All right, Harry. You said you were looking at that, and then you make fun of it. I don't understand. You said you would think like
I was looking at. I was looking at the under.
Oh,
I decided to pass. I had a feeling. I just had a feeling. Darren's going to come back with Gallup somewhere. So I let it go. I was right.
By the way, Dak could really laughed when he said he would have memory made the big proclamation in preseason that he's going to have under 10 interceptions. Yes, six.
Six.
Could maybe do this. Could well, that's, maybe do
it. I have it at 11.5. So let's
all right.
Hope,
okay.
That stays on.
What do we want to do? All right. So Pauly Kidd mentioned this first touchdown thing. And this, Joel, I don't know if you've been paying attention, babyface, but this has been a disaster for us. I was the only one to hit probably 3 weeks ago. And so now we didn't, even though I unofficially put in picks on Thanksgiving. So this is now 12th week. We're 1 for 30. What the hell? What would that be? 1 for 44, right? If we did 11 weeks. That's awful.
Boy,
my first touchdown pick.
Well, you did win last week. You did win last week.
Harry, this is the pick that you should come forward now and say these haven't been mine, because this is the way to do it. I mean, these have been so bad. So at least you can get rid of 11 of those. First touchdown, Pollard is plus 450. Lamb is 6 to 1. Charbonnet. Charbonnet is plus 650 because there's probably no Kenneth Walker, maybe definitely no Kenneth Walker by the time you listen to this. Yeah. We are so desperate here. I'm going to take Dak Prescott at 13-1 to run one in. The Seahawks have been pretty good at keeping the quarterback out of the end zone too. Dobbs scored on them, and I think that's as a Cardinal, and I think that might be it. But Dak is due. He has two all year, and I speak from authority as the only one on this podcast who has hit one of these this year. Dak at 13-1 is good value. I have no freaking idea. That's what I'm going. You know, he only had two touchdowns last year too, Paulie Kidd. I didn't know that. And now he has two rushing this year. There was a time when we definitely hit like a six or seven, right? Brian, you bet that a lot, right?
Brian had
Dak to run one in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have the first one. So have at it. Bri, you are more reasonable here with your pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take Lamb. You know, he's cooled off a little bit over the last 2 weeks, but he still has scored six touchdowns over those last five games. You know, I debated. I wanted to look at Ferguson or Schumacher, but Seahawks haven't given up too much to the tight ends this year at all. Yeah. So I think, you know, what Lamb has done so far warrants him being the favorite here. I don't love Pollard being plus 450 because he just hasn't done as much. There's no reason that Pollard should be plus 450. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the worst.
I mean, I know the Seahawks have given up a decent amount to the run game, so I guess that's how they're looking at that too. But I thought Lamb.
There's a bunch of 1 yard runs they've given up. I was looking back because I was trying to make a case for Dak, but a lot of 1 yard runs, not too many by the quarterback.
But why are we even doing this? Why are we doing this? Is the question.
I don't know why. I feel like the Pollard kid is forcing us to do it. We got to do it. It's Dallas.
You said,
it's
should Dallas. We do it? And I said, no.
We're not quitters, guys. We're not quitters. I mean,
well, Harry stopped giving his own picks weeks ago. All right, Harry, go ahead. Jump in there. You got an interesting one.
I'm not going to totally hate. Not going to totally hate on Dallas. I'm going to take Dallas special teams and defense at 28-1. The boys' defense is fourth in picks. And you mentioned Deron Bland. He's got seven of those 12. Five have gone for touchdowns. Geno's averaging a pick a game for the last seven games. Maybe a pick six here early on. Taking the Cowboys D to score the first touchdown is as good as anything, especially at 28-1.
Can we confirm that it's the defense and special teams? I think it's just the defense. I think it used to be defense, special teams.
I think you're right.
You know,
it says Dallas defense.
Special teams doesn't score anymore anyways.
They give it to the player. And what
is it? Is it 23-1 though now too? What's the
I see 26. I don't know. Okay. Maybe I haven't refreshed.
I don't like that.
Dallas
though.
Defense. I don't either.
I don't like that. So I guess they changed it, but yeah, the special teams play. Yeah, I don't love that.
So when the Panthers scored, I don't think he got paid for defense there. A couple Thursdays ago against the Bears, right? Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, the defense is still pretty good from what
I read.
Well,
that's still what's going to. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to score, it's going to be the defense.
Yeah. Deron Bland. So you get Bland at 30, but you can get the defense first at 26. Interesting. Okay. All right. Parley Kid. Now you got Gallup again, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I gave him out last year at one point when we were talking first touchdown. I don't think it was a graphic pick. But it was at some point I gave Gallup out. He's pretty good at high pointing the ball close to the end zone. They really haven't had to use him this year. But Seattle's D-backs, for the most part, a little shorter in stature than maybe the average size D-back. And I could see maybe early in the game them trying to keep Gallup happy here. He's been a good teammate. Doesn't seem to complain like a lot of receivers have about not getting the ball. And I'm just banking. I'm trying to hit something big here at 28-1. I'm just thinking down at the seven. Mm-hmm. They give him an opportunity to go up and get one, and maybe he gets one early. That's what I'm banking on.
All right. We're going, we're 1 for 44. Babyface, what do you think of these numbers? 1 for 44.
Oh, my God. 1 for 44. I mean, even Joey Gallo had better numbers on the Yankees than that. My God.
Did he sign with the Mets? Did they trade him to the Mets? I mean, that was the only thing that would make sense at this point.
I feel like you're going to go on a run. You're going to go on a run now. Let's do it.
We are on a run. We're in a terrible run. We will be right back. Then we have all these college football games to go over and Sharp Tank when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right. Big, big, big conference championship weekend. So I'm trying to figure out what this will look like next year. By the way, is that even confirmed, Brian, that they're doing the playoff next year? I feel like it's not as much. We're not getting buzz that it is a 12-team playoff.
Well, it's going to. I don't think we know who's getting it, though, yet, right? Or is that
Are the fans getting it? Or
yeah, no, the networks. I'm just trying to think networks.
Oh, I don't care about that.
I know.
No, well, it'll be some crap back streaming service we don't have yet that we're going to have to sign
up for. It's happening. I'm just trying to think if ESPN gets it for another year.
Right.
Before. It's possible the All year. Right. ESPN might get it next year. Somebody
so
else
then this weekend next year might not be as cool, right? Because now you're jostling with these conference championship games. So what I'm saying is all these teams would be in the playoff, right? Maybe not Iowa, Oklahoma State, Louisville would be fighting. 12 teams, actually they are. They're all in, right? All those teams would be in, right? Not Liberty. Okay. But I think all these teams will be in next week. That's what makes this year and this week so good. Let's start with Georgia, Alabama. Georgia 6.5-point favorite. 55.5 is the over under. Georgia could and likely will still get in with a loss. Bama needs a win, maybe a convincing one. Yep. But I don't think they're going to rest on their laurels, Georgia. Kirby Smart does not like losing to Nick Saban. In some ways, he may take more pleasure in knocking him out than winning a national championship or winning a semifinal matchup. But very solid Bulldogs team, just completed their third straight undefeated season. That's incredible to not slip up 36 straight regular season weeks. It's similar to our winless streak on the first touchdown pick, but just the other way. terrible at covering Georgia, 4-7-1 against the spread. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Alabama 8-4. Carson Beck, quarterback, actually a higher QBR than Stetson Bennett. Lots of weapons on the offense. Milroe has been good when it counts for Alabama, but that offense is only 49th in the nation against a Georgia D, not as dominant as last year, but still less than 16 points a game. I think this is a great team versus a very good team. I don't think the very good team will keep up scoring-wise. Last four have been decided by 7 or more. 7, 17, 17, and 15. I think it's similar to last year. I'm going to say 37-20. Dogs. Harry, you're going against me here.
I'm going to do a teaser here, Sal. I'm going to take Bama up to 13.5 and over 47.5. I know Bama looked looked kind of very lucky last week. They were against Auburn, but I think they were looking a bit ahead. I think they're going to be laser focused here for all the accolades and everything Georgia and Kirby Smart gets. Alabama still is 8-1 straight up against Georgia in their last nine. Five straight games, Bama games have been over 47 points combined, and Jalen Milroe has been tremendous of late, passing and running the ball. Over those five games, he's got 10 passing touchdowns, 7 rushing touchdowns. 7 straight games, by the way, for Georgia have gone over 47, and they've scored 30 or more in all 7 of those games. So I'm going to take Bama up to 13.5 with double digits here, Sal. I'm going over 47.5.
Well, has Harry ever been so in love with the 7-point teaser? You guys remember this?
I mean, he used to kill me for taking that. Like, would kill me.
I wouldn't kill you.
What are we giving for that, Sal? What's the 7-point teaser?
130?
-130 at least.
I think
right?
so. Yeah. You love it, Harry.
You just said
place.
Georgia 4-7 versus spread. Just in case, I'll push it up.
I know, the teaser bet is just in case, but I don't know why it's sick. Why it used to be a 6-point teaser. If they're going to have an 8-point teaser, you're going to be all over it. I love it.
Yeah. All right. On Cousin Sal's winning weekend, I may go a different way with Alabama.
Okay.
Right? I might.
All right. I think you will go another way.
Course,
I don't think there's any doubt you're going to go another way. Yeah. Joel, will we go another way?
I love it because animated Harry cannot make a teaser. So this is where he's getting all his.
He can't make a teaser.
I put my foot in my mouth on that one.
Animated teaser can't make. Harry can't make a teaser. All right. Oregon, Washington. This is a fun one. This is Friday night. 9.5 Oregon favored by 66.5 the over under. This is weird for me because I think Oregon's substantially better and probably should be embarrassed the way they lost at Washington this year. They had a shot to run the clock out and couldn't. They lost by a field goal. Washington getting a great team, but getting lucky in addition to squeaking by the Ducks, one score wins over Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Oregon State, and Washington State. Meanwhile, Oregon pounding teams, the average of 32.2. That said, the game's in Vegas, neutral field, 9.5. I think it's too high. Will I have Oregon on a money line parlay? Probably 130% probability.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's no question. This is the one I'm advising against money line parlays, but I feel like I have to have them somewhere. Yeah. Bo Nix, complete quarterback this year. But I think the smart side takes the undefeated team who plays everyone close, getting 9.5. The spread has gotten out of hand. Penix, second in the nation passing yards. You know, you should be good for backdoor cover here. 38-33. That's what I'm taking here. Paul, like, is this your game?
No, it's mine.
Oh, sorry, Brian.
Look, I'm going Oregon, Sal, and you're going against Oregon again for back to back weeks, which may be good for Archie. But like you said, Oregon, and maybe neutral site is a different thing here, but Oregon is just playing at another level. And the key is their defense, right, has been really good recently. And, you know, even though Washington is the big underdog, I think Washington is going to be tight in this game. The fact that they're 12-0, even though they're the underdog, I get the sense they're going to be tight. But you said before, all the close games, they have narrowly escaped the last 8 games.
It's incredible.
If
you look at,
even if they have double digit, even if they won by double digits, every game going into the fourth quarter, at some point in the fourth quarter, was close. That includes Stanford game. I mean, there's all of those games. There's 8 straight, and they could have lost any one of those. Now, I think, look, their defense, really, Washington's defense hasn't been that good against the better offenses. And I just worry when you look at Washington over the last couple of the weeks, their offense really isn't clicking. I just feel like they're going to get to 20 points. I think Oregon's going to put up a lot. I got Oregon winning this game 38-20.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I hear some pro Ducks trends here, or just
Thank
stats.
You.
Ducks outgained Washington 541-415 in a loss and held the ball for 9 more minutes. And per the Action Network, 34 of 51 teams, 67%, seeking revenge in a conference championship rematch, improved their scoring margin in the second matchup by an average of 7.8 points. So, all right, that's good Oregon news. But
yeah,
we should go to this game, right? We should be in Vegas.
I know, we should have went. I mean, you especially, Sal. Archie's not going.
He thinks he's a jinx because he went to Washington. He was in Washington when they lost. So he's like, I'll feel terrible if I go and lose. But
just because it's Washington, just because the Washington game,
because they lost in Washington, all right, Michigan, Iowa. Michigan, this game's a joke. 22.5 point favorite. It's gone down. 34.5 is the over under. You don't see that a lot where the difference is 12 between the spread and the over under. Look, we talked about this. How haven't they separated Michigan and Ohio State into East or West? That's been the number one sports rivalry for 1,000 years. So it's not like a cyclical thing. Like, well, Michigan and Ohio State are good this year. Like, just separate them so that they could play in the conference championship. Who cares? Iowa went around beating everyone 12-3 this year. This coach doesn't get the bonus he needed. They needed to score 25 a game. Even the athletic department's like, all right, we're sick of watching this team. Can you score some points? Nope. Last 6 games, they only scored more than 15 once. I could see Michigan not getting all the way up for this, but you don't have to worry about weather here. It's Lucas Oil Stadium. I know I can't count on Iowa and their 350-pound quarterback to put up big numbers, but they're going to be behind and they're going to be passing. It's not a situation they've been in much. So the other side is never a big scoring threat with Iowa. But in the last 2 years in this game, Big Ten Championship, 45 points and 65 points total scored. And in fact, J.J. McCarthy had 3 touchdown passes, Big Ten Championship last year. So it's a good game to show off. Spread so high. I don't want to screw with the spread. Iowa gets their 15, maybe 31-15 final. Easy win, easy over. I'm not screwing with the spread. Parlay Kid, you think it's too many points?
Well, if it's close to that score you predicted, I'm a winner here.
Right.
I'm just going to roll with Iowa. And the reason why, Sal, is one, Iowa's defense is still elite. I mean, they've given up 48 points over their last 6 games. So it's 8 points a game over their last 6. And on top of that, Michigan's passing game has not been elite over the last three games. McCarthy's thrown for 450 total yards in the last three games. So I think this game could play out a heavy run on both sides. Michigan wins this game. I just don't know if they're going to be capable of really putting up like 42 points here. I'm not sure if I was capable of putting up more than 10 in this game. But if it's somewhere like 30 to 10, Michigan, I'm a winner. And I think that is the most likely scenario here because, and I do think Iowa does play with a chip on their shoulder here, right? Like this is major disrespect to them and probably rightfully so, but there's definitely a lot of bulletin board material to go around for them to get them up. And I do think their defense is an elite type of defense. They send a lot of guys to the pros, this Iowa team. They do have guys out there with pro level type of players, blue collar type of players. I think they hang around for a little bit. Michigan pulls away late, but not to the tune of 23 points. Let's take Iowa and the points.
Well, thank God this nonsense is over. Brian, right? They're separating. No divisions next year. You got a no bunch division. Of teams coming in.
Well, because so there's what? There's 18 or 19 teams. That's going to be fun, though. That's going to be fun with some of those teams in there.
Yeah, it should be. So this will be a good game next year, right? Yeah. Like the days where the 23 and a half, it should be.
It should be great. Unless there's an injury.
All right. So let's do Texas, Oklahoma State. Texas 14.5 point favorite. 54.5 is the over under. This Oklahoma State is my kryptonite. Famously up 4 years ago with the ball, 4 seconds left. Mason Rudolph screwed me. What was against Western Michigan? Up 4 with the ball, 4 seconds left. And then all chaos broke loose. And I swore them off ever since. I just needed them to win. I don't think this game is going to matter. I know it kicks off earlier than Georgia-Alabama. It just seems too high. Seems like one of the games we talked about, Vegas, FanDuel having the edge here in terms of a money line parlay. Cowboys beat the Longhorns the last 2 years. Oklahoma State 7-4 against the spread. I don't know. Harry, I like Ollie Gordon, big game on the ground. They say he should win the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. Breaks a couple against that otherwise solid Texas run defense. Mike Gundy keeps it close-ish, 35-26. You have the over, right?
Yeah, I got the over. I think Oak State's very fortunate to be in this game, considering they had a pull out a 40-34 double overtime game versus BYU last week. But the good news about Oklahoma State is they've scored in the 40s for the last 6 weeks. But some more bad news, their defense has given up 30-plus points in three straight contests. So what is the Texas offense going to do to them? The Longhorns are coming off putting up 57 on the board versus Texas Tech, their highest scoring game of the year. Game is in Jerry World. No weather issues to worry about. Jadon Blue, Savion Red combined for 200 yards. For the burnt orange on the ground last week on just 19 carries for Texas, Xavier Worthy is an excellent wide receiver. This Texas offense is extremely dangerous. I got this game going to Texas 38-27 over the 55.
Oh, very close to what I had there. Yeah, Bri, I know you had Oklahoma State last week, Bri, at BYU.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. But I live bet that one, though.
How many times does Oklahoma State have to screw you before you give, like,
well, right? I'm not going to bet. I got to pick it, but I'm not going to bet. I don't care.
No, you
don't
give a crap what happens. You have to bet it.
I'll bet Texas. You know what I'll do? I'll bet Texas money line after all my big talk. But I got a haircut today at Sports Clips, and they have a game on there, and they had the BYU. I had seen it, and then I had to watch the overtime again. BYU, Oklahoma State, and the woman, the hairdresser, she's like, "Are you cool? Are you okay with this game?" I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of." Kind of got money on Bayern Munich over Copenhagen right now. You guys have Paramount Plus by any? They don't. They don't have Paramount Plus. Just so if you're thinking of getting a haircut at Sports Clips, just know you're not going to be able to watch Champions League soccer.
I don't think you have to worry about us getting those haircuts.
Okay, that's right. You guys will have. What do I do? I just threw the dumb Metcalf on it anyway. Florida State, Louisville. Florida State Seminoles 2.5 point favorite. 47.5 is the over under. This is not the gimme FSU was hoping for with Jordan Travis out. Now it's this Rademacher kid. I've not had luck with Louisville. I stayed away versus Kentucky last week, but I had them on that Thursday night game where they barely beat Virginia and had them in their loss against Pitt. But I think they're up for this game. FSU's defense has been key, but not so much versus the run. They give up 140 yards on the ground per game. I think that's where the Cardinals can pick them apart with Juwan Jordan. Even quarterback Plummer could take off and make things happen with his legs. They average 33 points a game, Louisville does. Tough one for FSU. Maybe I'm biased because I don't want to see a what's going to be a 14-point underdog FSU in the semifinals of the playoffs. But I'll pick Louisville to win what's I think is going to be the best game of the weekend, actually, 24-22. It'll be close, Parlay Kid. You're with me with Louisville.
Yeah, you really think it's going to be the best game, like the closest game or the best game?
All week. Yeah, I'm looking at so all my predictions here.
The closest game.
Yeah,
okay.
Closest. Yeah, I don't care about all these players. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you here. This has got like Louisville's been solid. Obviously, Louisville was very good this year. The letdown against Kentucky was a strange one, but maybe just knowing they really didn't need to win that game. Could have been a factor there. They do put up points. We saw what they did to Notre Dame this year. They kind of manhandled Notre Dame. And I just think they're going to do kind of the same thing to FSU here. And let's face it, and I don't believe in fixes, but I do think the powers that be would love to see FSU lose this game. They would love to see them lose this game. I don't think they want them anywhere near the playoffs. Right. So I think that, I don't know, few calls go Louisville's way at some point in this game, and they're good enough on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, to beat a Travis-less Florida State team.
All right. Give us your four, Bri. Who gets in?
Georgia, Michigan, Oregon. Texas.
I think that's mine too.
That's mine.
Is that yours?
That's mine.
Are we all going the same?
I don't see it any other way, Sal.
Really? All right.
That's so the most
chalk. But that's chalk, right?
But
yeah.
But you like that the best, right? In terms of matchups.
I think
in terms
that's
of
great.
Matchups, that's the best. That's I think best. That's having great. Oregon in there is so much better. I mean, it's such a difference.
I don't have Georgia in there.
Ooh. Really? You think they lose and get bounced?
I think they lose and lose bad. I got Michigan, Bama, Oregon, and Florida State.
All right. Michigan, Bama.
You get really good odds for that.
Yeah, so you have to go. Yeah, just do Bama. Just do Bama FSU parlay, right? I'm sorry, do Bama FSU moneyline parlay.
Yeah.
Is the best thing to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
All right. Very interesting. Joel, you care about any of this?
Is can Pitt still make it or no?
Yeah, they have an outside. They did beat Louisville. So okay. Maybe they can make a case. All right. So that's it. I do want to go over about 30 or 40 futures I made here. I'll read through them real quick. LSU over 9.5 wins. Nope. A&M over 8.5. Nope. Florida under 5.5. I got lucky there. Plus 110 with that loss to Florida State. Auburn over 6.5. I lose on that crazy pass.
Wow.
Although I did.
And you didn't know, right?
I didn't know, but I also had Bam on a money line. So that's a dumb loss. Michigan over 10.5 win. Iowa under 8.5 loss. Wisconsin, I was all over Wisconsin. That's a loss. Illinois under wins. FSU over wins. UNC over loses. Why did I like that team, Tate? God, that was bad. Over 8.5, that lost on Saturday. Louisville under 8.5, that lost. Kansas over 7 adjusted, plus 225. That was a winner. Colorado, of course, was my big one, under 2.5 conference wins. I love that one. Then I did adjusted, Bri. UNC, 6-plus wins adjusted, easy. Utah, 6-plus wins adjusted. Pretty easy. Oregon State, 6-plus wins. And Florida State, 6-plus wins. So that was good. Corum barely had like 900 yards. I thought he had a better year. All touchdowns. Yeah, only touchdowns. Over 1050 I lost there. I had Beck and Williams for Heisman. I had Wisconsin to win the Big Ten. That's a loser. LSU to make the playoffs is bad. Florida State to have more wins than the Dolphins. Harry, is that win? They have 12. They can't have more than 12. So
right.
Is that going to push?
12. Probably push, right?
12 to 12. All right. And then I bet Daniels, Parley Kid. I just added that. Sorry.
Let's go.
I'm going to have to lose that one. What do you got? Did you have any, you guys have anything good that you bet? Parley Kid? You
got I had some heartbreakers with some over-unders losing by like one game on several. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, like I think hit with Notre Dame. They barely went over though. So I did get lucky, but my biggest ones I think were just the props. Three quarterback props. I had Daniels over 18 and a half touchdown passes hit like
crazy
3 months ago. Knicks over 24 and a half touchdown passes. Yeah. And I guess I'm still waiting on this one, but I have Ewers on the Texas under 3150 passing yards. He's at 27. He'd have to throw for 450 yards.
So what counts? This game and the bowl game or just this game?
Just this game. The bowl games don't count, correct?
Yeah.
They can't.
They can't count. So
I don't think so.
Which is strange because, again, the stats count for the players for this game, but the over-under wins don't count in this game. Is that correct?
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get that, but whatever.
All right, we're going to have to look at this. There.
I think Brian picking Michigan to go undefeated. Yeah. I think just for the regular season, right, Brian? When you picked about a month ago, I was on Georgia as well. And talk about two hitting super easily. Well, Michigan had to sweat one out. But, man, that Georgia one, I was getting like basically, I think it was like plus 105
for them to. Yeah.
That was great.
That was as easy as it could ever get. Easy as it could ever get.
I do have SEC team to win the national championship at minus 115. That's the big one that I'm still waiting on. Maybe in a way I should probably root for Alabama in the case that, you know, just in case they both get in. But
good point.
I did give up Michigan to win the whole thing. I'm still alive, obviously, there.
Yeah. What were they originally? They were
6-1.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had Florida State over 9.5 and to win the ACC looks decent. Washington over 9.5 and to win the Pac-12. My best, though, out of all of them that I loved the best was Purdue under 5.5. That one easy.
But you didn't bet any of these, right?
I bet some of them.
All right, Brian, give us yours.
How about Randy under 1.5 conference wins? 0. Easy.
Well, I'm just going over some player props that I had. Like Daniel, I know Darren was all over Daniels. I had Daniels over 550 rushing. That was super easy. I did one. We gave out Heisman's we gave out two Heisman's, one at different times. The second time I gave out Knicks.
Sure.
Knicks at that time was 20 or 21-1.
Wow.
At that point, I also gave out to start the year Odunze plus 850. It's a Blitnikoff winner. Him. And he's a finalist, so he's top three. I don't know, you know, Neighbors probably stat-wise is better. I don't know who's been better big game-wise. Odunze makes a lot of huge catches. So, and I think both of their numbers are a decent amount better than Harrison. So
well,
I think
Troy Franklin's up there, too. Is he not a finalist?
The only three are Harrison, Odunze, and Neighbors, I think.
I think they just announced that the other day.
I think those were the three. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Sorry. It's possible bet ache. I had JJ McCarthy over 20 and a half touchdowns. He's got 19.
That was a sure thing.
He had 18, like six games in. He has one touchdown over his last like five games.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's right. He had like 18 touchdowns the first seven games. He had one touchdown over the last five. I'm pretty sure
last year in this game, he had three touchdowns. So maybe he lights it up for
that's
this.
What I need.
Little
so
he's got off. One in his last four games.
Okay.
Jesus. Wow.
One last four. All right.
Listen, it's a lot to digest there. And Harry has digestion problems as it is, but let's take a quick break. Then Shark Tank. These guys, come on, rebound after an 0-3 week. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, it's Shark Tank time. These guys pick their best bet for the weekend, and I am going to listen very carefully, and I'm going to choose one of them. You know what, Joel? Maybe I'll let you choose for me. But you know what? When I let you do that, I'm going to admit that I'm letting you do that, unlike some people here.
Well, only if you lose.
Yeah. Harry, you got it? You understand how that works?
I understand that. I get that. Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll start us off then.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to go to the American Athletic Conference Championship between SMU and Tulane. I'm going to go over 47.5. Now, SMU's quarterback, Preston Stone, has been fantastic this year at 32 total touchdowns. But he hurt himself last week. He's out for this game. Freshman Kevin Jennings is in. I still have a lot of confidence in SMU. They've had an unbelievable offense this season. He's had 5 touchdowns, 0 picks when he's had to play. Again, both teams have explosive offenses. Last 5 SMU games, they've landed on 67 points or more. And the Mustangs are averaging 50 points per game over their last 6. And if they can't pass the ball, they still had 27 rushing touchdowns this season. Meanwhile, on the Tulane side, their quarterback, Michael Pratt, plus 17 touchdown to pick ratio this year. Last year in this championship game, he had 394 yards and 5 touchdowns. Their running back, McKee Hughes, 7 of his last 8 games, 100 plus yards rushing, averages 5.5 yards carry. And I said last year in the AAC title game, Tulane scored 45 versus Central Florida. The last time these two teams played, 81 points Sal were scored. The time before that, 71. And while I was doing my handicapping on this, I did a lot of research here. How about 10 straight games between SMU and Tulane have gone over 47.5 points?
Nice.
Going over 47.5.
Wow. How is this not your total of the year? Or have you done that already?
College.
I haven't done that yet. But little concerned about the quarterback situation for SMU, but still, 47.5 seems still good. Right.
You're running out of games here to do your total of the year. I mean, I'm going to pick some stupid bowl game when we don't know what 8 guys are starting or not. What I love about this is it kicks off the same time as Georgia, Alabama. And you know Harry's just watching SMU Tulane. App State and Troy also.
Great color combination, too.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Parley Kid. Joel, you're keeping track, right? Because I'm going to ultimately go to you. Parley Kid, you're next.
Yeah, I'm going to take a player prop parlay here. I like this one a lot. So it's a 3-player prop. Waddle over 4.5 receptions against the lowly Washington Commanders defense, which has been pretty miserable, especially over the last 5 or 6 games. They've made a defensive change. I would think that defensive change would stop with trying to contain Tariq Hill, and Waddle will be the beneficiary in this game. Second prop will be Stroud over 1.5 touchdown passes. I know this Denver defense is much improved. Stroud has thrown at least 2 passes in every home game that he's played in this year. And McCaffrey, anytime touchdown, just because he scores virtually every game. And I think in the biggest game of the year for the 49ers, McCaffrey obviously will be a huge factor. You add those 3 up, it's plus 366.
Ooh.
Money line parlay.
I like that.
On that Joel, prop factor.
What do we think of that so far?
It's pretty good. I think I want to hear Bry's. Do you want to put any more legs? Any more, or just 3?
I mean, I could put some teams on that. I don't know.
It's better than Darren's Jets pick last week.
He gave us the Jets. He gave us like a 4-plot player prop last week, and it won. But it won. Officially, he gave us the Jets, right?
Please, plus 950.
Officially went with the Jets.
Well, right, I mean, I still gave it out. I mean, I gave it out. And I actually bet it as well. So, What's the difference?
I think you should probably go with Harry because I told you when I lost after the Jets, I was like, I might be starting a losing streak because I was so good.
Yeah, Bry's. Let me give Joel some background. Bry was like 9-0 in Sharp Tank, right?
Or like 10-1.
10-1. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. All right.
And then I took the Jets and now I've lost back to back. And then Parley Kid took the Jets last week. I will say there's some good fights on this weekend. UFC Fight Night's really good card, so you could go that way.
Nice.
Normally, I would say my big bet this weekend. I'll just put it out there. My big bet of the weekend is actually going to be an Oregon Georgia parlay. That I do like, Sal. I think you like that as well. But
what I'm was going it? To, Oregon what?
Oregon Georgia. Georgia.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I do.
Right. Yeah. I love those two teams together. I know Harry doesn't. I know that. But I'm going to take the Broncos against the Texans +3.5. I really like them this week. And the fact that you're getting the extra point is great. Denver has won 5 straight games, all against pretty good teams too, even though they've lucked out. I know the last 2 weeks against crappy quarterbacks, but Russell has put himself in contention. You even said it, Sal, for comeback player of the year. If you look at the Texans side, right, they've played in some really close games at home, especially even against some of those NFC South teams. I think this is another really close game. Feels like a 3-point game on either side, but I'm going to take the Broncos. I'm going to say they continue their hot streak. Broncos win 24-21. So I like the 3.5 here.
All right. Now, I did talk to Mark Schlereth, who was played on that team and lives in that city and calls, you know, has a radio show out there. And, you know, he's taking credit for lighting a fire under this team's ass because he basically mother effed every player on that team, every coach. And he loves it. They're in decent shape.
They are now.
Also, it was a crazy workout that he went off air. He told us about that. Meatballs, even you were impressed with it, right?
It is a very impressive workout.
Didn't he say he did it in 45 minutes? It's basically 25 sets, right? But just increasing. Did he say he knocked it out in 45 minutes? Or
45 minutes, yep. 3 days a week.
And Parlay Kid, basically, it's crazy amount of weight and everything, but he just keeps pushing himself until he feels like he's going to die.
Really?
Stops.
Is it really? Is it weights or is it like body?
Yeah.
Weights. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weights, right? Michael, mostly, right?
Mostly weights. Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds healthy. I mean, that sounds very weight.
Well, his whole thing is cardio is nonsense. He's like, this is what you got to do. It's like cardio, you stop burning calories once the cardio is over. If you give yourself a good burn with this, you know, crazy strength conditioning. Right.
If you lift until near death at 50 something.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I told him. I said the almost dying part is what I
God bless him. All right. I don't know.
He really does. All right, Joel, what do we like?
A lot of good stuff from everybody. Let's go with what I'm not going to go with. Bri, I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Broncos have been good. However, their offensive line offers less protection than Nick Cannon, so I'm not feeling that one. I really like Parlay Kids. All three individually, of course, I like a McCaffrey anytime touchdown. Stroud over 1.5 touchdown passes. I just feel like that Waddle one. That could be the one that is weak. But hold on. I'm still considering. Now, Harry, that American Athletic over it. That does sound like a lot of points. SMU, Tulane, it's like a conference, not a lot of defense. And most importantly, I don't think you can find a green wave in a zoo. So you definitely put your research.
So he's not going to change this pick then? You're saying it's pretty – okay.
I think this is based on legitimate research, and this might be the only Mustang he ever gets. Let's go with my guy, Harry. And the SMU Tulane over 47.5.
That's probably your pick anyway. So, yeah, you might as well go with it. All right. There you go, Harry. All right. Sharp Tank. Everybody bring your picks home. Joel and I are jumping on SMU Tulane over 47.5. All right. Let's take another quick break. Actually, Meatballs, Sarukian or Dariush? Am I even saying those names right?
Daniil.
Benil Dariush.
What is he, +215?
Yeah, +215. Yeah, pretty good odds for him.
That's the main event, UFC. Okay. All right. There you go. So we gave you a UFC pick there. And now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Harry's got another story to tell us, and we'll get out of here.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right. So before we wrap things up, there was this. This has happened before. Well, Harry, let me let you tell the story. You know, you alluded to the fact that the in-laws were a little bit getting on your nerves, right, over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Not really. It just, you know,
I got
it. Really, it wasn't terrible.
Right. But what was the one thing that stuck out that was just most bizarre?
What did I say? Did I say something?
You didn't say something. I never get anything from you. I'm getting from somebody
else. Gotcha. Right, yeah. Right. Well, okay. So my mother-in-law, more than a handful of times, and I didn't hang out with Ken at all during this time because Ken was hanging out with you.
Right.
She called me Ken about eight times.
And she's done this before.
Calling me Ken, right? and then Angie's father was getting mad at his wife, and then Angie was getting mad at her mother. Saying, yeah. "Stop doing this! Why are you calling Harry Ken?" And she loves me to death, and there's no denying it. Believe it or not, she loves me to death, but she kept calling me Ken.
Yeah, and that's happened before for sure. We've heard this. We've heard this before. Wow.
I mean, Ken's a charmer, but you know.
Well, I don't know how much we want to make fun. Before we start making fun, is she mentally challenged? Is she like a mentally challenged woman, or she's got all her
wits
about her?
I don't think so, but a little ditzy, but not mentally challenged.
Okay, but what the fuck? I mean, I can't believe it. She was at the wedding. She's met you. How many times has she met you?
Oh, I don't know, 20.
20 and what? How many times, Ken? 3, 4?
Right.
She should be getting this right at this point.
And she kept and she didn't say anything about too much about my house, but she kept saying how beautiful Ken's house was.
What the hell is going on?
Wow.
Baby face.
But she loves you. She loves you. She loves me,
Darren.
She loves me.
Yep.
Oh, I'm in a house that I can't afford, and yet it's not beautiful. All right. I don't know. Whatever.
This is either wishful thinking on her behalf, or I think we should solve this. Harry just legally changes his name to Ken.
I don't know. But doesn't that screw up the cartoon? I mean, the animators got to change the ending with the exclamation point.
I really thought the second bombshell was actually going to be Andrew is pregnant. Damn it.
No, that's the third one, right? That's the third one. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah.
That one was dropped by our friend Von.
And Angie still hasn't changed her last name to mine yet either.
Oh.
So she doesn't even know your name.
Wow. Wow. What is that about? She's just too lazy.
I don't know. Like, I'm staring at my wedding's been 2 years ago. I'm staring at thank you cards over on the counter that she never sent out either. So
yeah, but are you wearing your ring? Hold up your hands. Let's see.
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
I don't do jewelry.
Well, Harry, you got a month to get the Christmas gift. We'll be all right.
Although I will say there was a part of me. Besides the baby, there was a part of me bombshell was something, you know, I was thinking the worst originally, maybe some divorce. But then again, we heard the hospital. And,
yeah.
I'd rather get divorced than have a kid right now.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. You put that in your vows, if I remember right. Okay.
No, she thought she was pregnant, but it was just a bad chipotle, I think.
Till kid to us, do us part.
Let's put Brian in a video, Harry. Let's get Brian in one.
No, don't threaten him.
Right.
Don't threaten him. Wow. All right. I just have to say, if I were there and I heard her calling you Ken over and over, I would never stop laughing. I would lose
you
my
would have loved it.
That's so goddamn good. It makes
sense.
And
what do you say, Harry, when that happens?
I just
eat it. You eat it. Right?
Yeah.
You just like,
I eat it. Like everything
what
else.
What does she say though when she's corrected? When your father-in-law corrects her, what does she
say?
Well,
Angie corrected her plenty.
Uh-huh. And what does she say?
Will you stop calling him Ken?
And does she say, I don't realize it? Or does she say, oh, I just don't know?
I'm sorry. She apologized.
Well, will you wear a name tag to Thanksgiving next year? I think that's
I saved her husband's life.
The price is right.
I guess that doesn't count for anything anymore.
Yeah, but you ruined her daughter's life. So
I guess it's better than her calling you Big Mike.
All right. We'll talk about this after.
For another episode of Against All Odds.
We could turn it. Go ahead, Harry. Throw it up. Good. You're halfway there.
For Cousin Sal, for Parlay Kid, for Babyface Joel Solomon, Mikey Meatballs, and Brian, Brother Brian. I'm the H-Dog saying, see ya, happy handicapping, and see you later.
God.
Decent? No.
Somewhat that was decent. Good. All right.
That was good.
You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.